We're continuing the shir at towards the end of Torah Chof Hei and Likut Emaran Chelik Aleph. We're up to paragraph Hei, the second paragraph within Ois Hei. In our Likut Emarans, it's page 88, the right-hand column, the second paragraph on the page where it begins in the parentheses, Shayach Lois Aleph. This is actually an appendix to the Torah Likut Emaran that we learned before. And what we'll do is we'll try to cover the appendix first, and then we'll go back and explain a little and review and clarify this chapter on Likut Emaran based on how Rav Nosson Zal explains it. Rabbeinu Zal says, there's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishboro, that the sacrifices of Hashem are a broken heart, or a broken spirit. And the Gemara says that this refers to a person who breaks his ruach, a person who breaks his kovoid, his gaiva, and his machnia himself. That person gets credit as if they brought zivchei elokim, not just one korban, but that's considered to be like a combination of all the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the main goal of the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash was to give Hashem nachas, l'rotzoin lifnei Hashem, l'rotzoinchem tizbachuhu, all the different psukim where it stresses that the purpose of korbanos is to arouse the rotzoin of Hashem, the ahava of Hashem towards Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says that this concept of a ruach nishbora, a person is given credit as if they brought all the different kinds of zbachim put together. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, Sheshviras hadimyoin heima korbonois, ayin shom. We learned earlier that this concept of zivche elokim, korbonois, are brought from animals. And we said that the behemius refers to the koyach hamedame within the person, which means not the highest level of smartness, of intelligence of the person, but rather the basic thinking power that's found even within an animal, the animal instinct within a person. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person break the korbonos, the concept of shechting a korbon is a concept of a person being machnia, the ruach hamedame, the koyach hamedame inside of himself. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, v'zeh b'chinas smicho ala korbonos. This is the concept of the fact that one of the major avoidos of a korban was that the kohen had to put his hands on the head of the animal. Ki ha-korbonos meviim mebehemos, because sacrifices were brought from animals. Sheheim bechinas koyach hamedame. An animal is the symbol of the koyach hamedame, the animal instinct within the person. We had explained last week in the shir that there are two concepts. There's the concept of sechel digdusha, which means the power of a person to think on a level that's above the simple physical world, where a person is thinking in such a way where when they look at an object, they use that object to bring them closer to Hashem. Number one, to think of how great Hashem is, that Hashem created this and maintains this. And number two, in terms of what purpose, a table, the fact that a table can be used to eat a meal on, to eat food on, to make brachos on, to praise Hashem through this table, that's a concept of sechel, where a person is taking every single item within the physical world and elevating it to a higher place, using it to show respect to Hashem. Whereas what we're calling koyach hamedame is the way that an animal would treat a table. An animal would use a table to lean on, or to step on, or in other words, without realizing a higher purpose to it, a greater significance to it than just what it appears to be in the simple physical world. That's one of the understandings that we want to have here of the concept of seichel versus koyach hamedame. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, korbonos are brought from animals, sheheim bechinas koyach hamedame. Animals represent this koyach hamedame, this lower level of thinking. Ki habehema yesh lo gam kein koyach hamedame. An animal also has this concept of a koyach hamedame, a certain ability to think on a low level. Ukishodom hoylech achar hamedame shebeleiv, and when a human being allows himself to follow v'koyach hamedame within his heart, which means the Yetzahara, that power inside of a person that wants to lead a person away from Hashem, that wants a person to lead the life of a behemoth, meaning not tying in everything in their life to Hashem, but rather simply using it in its simple physical form. So when a person follows that path, Dahainu achar tavo yisov chas v'sholom, a person follows their physical desires, sheboim mikoyach hamedame, which originate from this koyach hamedame, zehu maise behemo mamish. That's considered behaving like an animal. Ki gam habehemo yeshlo koyach hamedame, because an animal also has this concept of a koyach hamedame, this lower level of thinking. An animal knows how to sleep, it knows how to work, it knows how to eat, it knows how to walk, you know, certain basic things, which there are many human beings which you couldn't say anything more meaningful to define their lives than what you would say about a cow, lahavdil, or something like that. V'al kein, and therefore, kishe'odom choyte chas v'sholom, when a person commits a sin, v'chol hachatoim boim al yidei koyach hamedame, and all the sins come as a result of this koyach hamedame, shemishom nimshochim kol ha'tayvos, that's where all the wrong kinds of desires originate from, al kein utzorech lohavi korban mi behemois. It's for this reason that the tikkun for a sin is to bring an animal, to show that I acted in this manner. My act of leading an animal into the Beis HaMikdash is implying that the two of us are equal now. I acted in the form of this item. V'tzorech lismoy cholov, and the owner has to lean on the animal. Ulehisvadois kol chatov ala korban b'shas hasmicha, and to speak out, to verbally speak about all the sins that he did while resting his hands on the animal. And by doing that, the person transfers his sins and his koyach hamedame onto the animal. Shehi bechinas medame kanal, where animals are known to be this concept of medame. V'acharkach tekef l'smicho shchito, and then immediately after the person does the smicho on the animal, that's when the animal is shechted. V'shoychatin habehemo l'korban, the behemo is brought as a korban for Hashem, as a sacrifice. V'ideze nichna v'nishbar hamedame, and by doing that, the person breaks the medame inside of himself. In other words, normally we assume that humans and animals don't mix. Animals are kept in barns, humans are kept in houses, and they're not supposed to be mixing together. The fact that Hashem obligates a Jew that commits a sin to take an animal and walk with that animal, bring that animal with him into the Beis HaMikdash, is a matter of the person admitting that that's me. That I acted in the form of an animal, I allowed my koyach hamedame, the animal inside of me, to take hold of me and control me, and allowed myself to act in that manner, and then I'm slaughtering it by being samech on the animal. A Jew has the power to transfer the ra inside of himself onto the animal, in a sense, where that animal is the most natural candidate for this, because the animal is a concept of koyach hamedame, and then that animal is shechted as a kovoi to Hashem. That's the tikkun for this koyach hamedame.
When it comes to the Todah offering, when you bring up a ham for a Todah offering, and you bring it into the
Beis HaMikdash
with you also.
The answer is yes. Obviously there, it is a different intent. Now, here Rabbeinu Zal is addressing those korbanos that are brought specifically to atone for sins, which are the majority of the korbanos. There are korbanos of nedava or korbanos of toida, which take on a different meaning.
Has a person been claimed today? Do you know
in terms of breaking the koyach hamedame? We spoke about stokah earlier. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the gedulas haboirei, that in order to be machnia, the klipois and the demyoinois, etc., that you need gedulas haboirei, Gedula Saboyre, we said, was Chesed. L'chashem ha-gedula v'agvura Chesed, the whole concept of tzedakah, which is what the Korbonos were. Korbonos were a form of tzedakah. And money is also the ikra behemius of the person. What brings out the animal instinct in most human beings is the dollar. That item causes people to act like animals. That was the whole concept of going to work without a brain on, without being plugged into Hashem. When we review, we'll go into this more. Okay, that's one major concept that was spoken about earlier. Next. Now, Rabbein Ezal says, Shayach lo isbeis gimel, referring back to what we discussed in paragraphs 2 and 3. Mavoy Rasham, it was explained there, Shekishe odom netak mi madrega la madrega, that whenever a person wants to move from one level to a different level, Oz tzorech loy leilech derech elu hademyoinois, the person has to go through this thick wall, in a sense, of demyoinois, of klipois, of tuma, of mistakes, of ra, of downfalls, kidei lahagia elagdusha, in order to be able to enter to a higher level of kedusha. Just as Rabbeinu Zal brings in another chapter on Likutei Moran, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was meeting with Hashem to receive the Torah, it says, Moshe nigash el ho'arofel asher shom ho'elikim. Moshe Rabbeinu approached a dark cloud in which was found the presence of Hashem. But dafke, in that coat of darkness, hidden inside is the light of Hashem itself. And many times, in order for a person to get to that light, they have to first be willing to dirty themselves, in a sense, and to go through that bloody battle of breaking through the klipois, the demyoinois, the different terms that Rabbeinu Zal is using here to refer to each and every single person's trials and tribulations, what they go through to get to the next level. V'tekev kisho'ilu l'hamadrega shniyo, and as soon as the person gets to the higher level, azai nis'oirin ha'klipois shibamadrega. The moment the person sets foot on that new level, immediately the ra of that level, the klipois and tumah on that level, is awakened, is turned on, u'misavivin oisoi, and they encircle the person, attempting to swallow that person up. As the Pasuk says, Soviv Rishoim Yishalochun, that the Rishoim encircle a person trying to defeat him. Vitzorech Lachnia Oiso Mechodosh. And Rabbeinu Zal explained earlier that the person has to start a whole new battle to be Machnia, those Klipois, on the new level. Even though he finished with the Klipois on the level he was on before, now that he arrived at a new place, there's a whole new Milchama that he has to be ready to deal with. Ayin Shom, look at those paragraphs earlier where this was mentioned. Even though the klipa on this upper level was already defeated by the person that was there before him, because we said earlier that all the Jews are pictured as if each one is on a different rung of the ladder. And let's say Reuven, who's on rung 23, when he wants to go up to rung 24, first, Shimon, who's above him, vacates and moves up in order to allow room for Reuven to move up. So you would assume, logically, didn't Shimon already fix any klipois on that level if he's there? And we learned earlier that even though Shimon fixed what he needed to fix, now that a new person is coming to that location, these klipois have the right to start again, to start a war against him again, and he has to earn his place on that new level. Afal Pikein, still, even though the other person was Machnia the Klipois, Kishe Pnimius Shelho Elyoin Netak Misham, when the Pnimius of the one who is on the upper level leaves, V'chitzoinius HaTachtoin Oile, and the Chitzoinius of the one who was on the lower level rises up to become a Chitzoinius to the Chitzoinius of the one above, as we learned earlier, Azai HaKlipo Choyzer V'neor, Ayin Shom. Then this klipa has the right to start again, to be reactivated and to start a whole new battle against this person. Now this next few lines is extremely critical to every Jew, especially to every Breslov Chosid. Now Rav Nosson Zal writes, V'omar oz boze holoshoin. Rabbeinu Zal at the time said the following words, U'boze toyin hachasidim harbei. that in this item specifically, many chassidim make a mistake. They make major mistakes. Shepisoim nitmelohem shenoflo me'avodas Hashem. A person who tries to become chosid, meaning he tries to improve himself. Person who doesn't want to be a regular Jew, they want to be a special Jew. They want to try to be really exceptional in Judaism. And that person sometimes starts climbing and going up, 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 and suddenly the person experiences a fall. And the person perceives it as if they fell away from Hashem. Ube'emes ein ze nefilo klal. Whereas the truth is that the person is mistaken. They didn't really fall. Rak shmach mashitzrichem lalo ismi madrega la madrega. It's only because of the fact that the person must move up constantly from level to level. Va'oz misoirin umisgabrim mechodo shaklipois. And when the person gets to a new level, a new war begins. The Satan comes out brand new and starts up with him again. This person just finished a war and figured he saw his enemies on the floor splattered. He saw his Yetzirah in pieces and he figured he won. All over, finished, calm, everything's okay. Now, a day or two later, suddenly the war starts again. And the person thinks that this is his old buddy. Here he thought he won, and it's baloney. I fooled myself. I didn't really won, because proof is the Satan's back even stronger than before. So must be that I didn't win. Must be that I'm not getting anywhere. I'm getting nowhere. Here I thought I accomplished something, and I see proof in front of my eyes that I accomplished nothing. Rabbi Nizal says that's a mistake. It's not true. That's your proof that you are accomplishing, because that's not the same Satan from the second floor. This is a brand new Satan on the third floor. And one of his tricks is, one of his first tricks is to make you believe that he's the same old guy, to convince you that you're getting nowhere, you're not accomplishing anything, because he knows that that'll get the person, that'll tire the person out, and the person will give up. A person who feels that they're struggling and working very hard and getting nowhere, most people give up at that point. So Rabbi Nizal says, ובאמס אין זה נפילה כלל, רק מחמה שצריכם לעלו יש מדרגה למדרגה, ועוז מסויר ומסגבר מחודש הקליפויס, and then the קליפויס start up brand new, שהם הטייבויס והבלבולים והדמיונויס והמחשבויס והמניאס כנל, which includes all of the person's evil desires and all the confusion and the demiunois and the bad thoughts and the obstacles. All of this is all the same angel. It's the same Satan that comes in the form of obstacles, machlokes, bad thoughts, evil desires, all one angel, the multifaceted angel. Al kein tzrichem lizgaber b'chol pam mechodosh lachzor lachnio l'shabra klipos amenios. That's the reason why a person has to be prepared to start this war over and over again. It's not the identical same war, it's a similar war, but each time taking place on new levels, on higher and higher levels. Shebechol madrego madrego mechodesh, to be machnia, the klipos and menias of each level, brand new. Avul be'emes, ein ze nefilo klal. But the fact is that this is not considered a fall for the person. On the contrary, this is the proof that the person is rising. Proof that there's activity is that the Satan's fighting with him. When the Satan sees a person doing nothing, then the Satan can also do nothing. When the Satan sees a person moving, he moves towards the person also to do battle. Each time a new level, a new battle, new set of wars, new set of obstacles. And this applies to each and every single area. We can give a most basic example, the concept of shalom bayis, for example. Person tries and struggles to make things better, and the person feels as if they've grown a little, and they hope that the wife has grown also, and then suddenly fights start again. The person says, then there's nobody to deal with, because I see we're both just as crazy as we were before, and we're getting nowhere, and then therefore the best thing is chas v'shalom to drop it. And it's not necessarily true. It's just that most people are silly enough to think that a Jew has the right to create worlds, to bring a child into the world, which means billions of worlds being affected. Easy as pie, abracadabra. And a person doesn't know how many different obstacles the Satan puts in each and every person's way on each and every level to block that from happening. Or even if a person does already bring a child into the world, the Satan knows that the success of the children in coming close to Hashem is dependent on the normalcy in the house, depending on how solid things will be. So when a person attempts to get better, and each and every time the Satan tries to convince the person that they're getting nowhere, it's not necessarily true. A person has to look very carefully to be able to know when they're getting nowhere and when they are getting somewhere. And not necessarily always is the one on the inside the best to judge that. Sometimes you need somebody objective who could read it more clearly. You have the very outstanding moshel that Rabbeinu Zal once told about a king who saw this city that was surrounded by incredibly powerful walls. And he wanted to try to penetrate the city, to take it over. And he heard that all kinds of different armies that had attempted to do this in the past, all of them had failed. And this king decided he wants to take a shot at it also. So he sent his army one day to go full power against this wall. And they worked on it for a whole day, struggling and battling and everything. And by the time the day was over, the walls were still standing. And the king was almost ready to give up because many soldiers were killed in the battle and everything, and the wall hadn't been knocked down. And one of the king's advisors, who was very intelligent, said to the king, "Not so fast. Don't leave so fast. Let's wait till it gets dark. And under the cover of darkness, we'll sneak over to the wall to see if anything happened or not." And they went over to the wall up close to look at it. And sure enough, they noticed cracks in the wall. They noticed that it's not enough, that just because the wall was standing doesn't mean it hadn't been weakened. And he told the king, "Now tomorrow we're going to try much harder, really, to make another attempt with the knowledge, knowing that we are getting somewhere." And even though the best soldiers weren't available anymore, because they were the ones who had done it yesterday and many of them had been killed, they used the second best soldiers to go for another round. The next night they looked at the wall, still standing, but more cracks, and so on and so forth, until in the end, Rabbeinu Zal said, they sent a group of women and children in the end to take the last shot at this wall, and the wall just crumbled to pieces in front of them because of everything that happened before. And Rabbeinu Zal said, this is a lesson to us in 1990, people who say, this generation compared to the previous generations, we're the worst Rishoim compared to the Tzaddikim of the past. How do we begin to think that we're going to bring Moshiach, that we're going to do things that are going to make any kind of splash in heaven? The answer is we alone can't do it. But after all the cracks that have been made by all the generations, all the past generations of tzaddikim and everything, even this weak, nothing generation, if we'll just do our little bit, the whole thing will crumble. The Satan and all the different things that need to crumble will crumble. And everybody will receive part of the credit, the Giborim of earlier generations, and even the Chaloshim of our present generations. This refers to the Klal Yisrael on a whole, and it refers to each and every single individual Jew in his own battles. First, he starts off very excited and eager and pushing, but and it looks to him like he got nowhere. The next day he comes back, he doesn't have the same enthusiasm as he had when he first started, but if he at least puts in whatever he can, he accomplishes more, and so on and so forth, until at the end the person feels they're totally exhausted, just about ready to give up legitimately. And the person gives one final push, and that final push is what causes that person's walls to crumble. The walls that are blocking that person from getting close to the Kiddusha to crumble and allow that person to enter. Now the final paragraph. Shayach Lois Gimel. This goes back to paragraph Gimel that we learned earlier. Rabbeinu Zal said, "Vida she'ein shnei bnei odom shovin." You should know that no two Jews are identical, are equal on the same level. Nimtza she kishe'echod roitze lalois mimadregos lemadregel yena yoser. Therefore, when one Jew wants to go to a higher level, then the person that's currently standing on that upper level has to first vacate the premises, leave, and move up. That person moves up to an upper level, making room for this person to get to that person's level. And Rabbeinu Zal then said the following statement. He said, "Vze bechinas haromo." This is the concept of uplifting. Ma she'echod meirim u'magbia es chaveroi, whereby one Jew has the ability to lift up and push up his fellow Jew. Because by a Jew who's on a low level, climbing, moving up from level to level, he's able to push a tzaddik who's many levels up, he's able to bump him up. Any person on a ladder that moves has the power to also affect all the others. And so too his friend's friend, who's still higher up, everybody rolls, it's a domino effect where everybody rolls together. His friend's friend, who was on a higher level, goes up still higher. This continues upwards and upwards. Because it's impossible for two Jews to occupy the same rung on the ladder. No such thing. So if it's time for Reuven to go up, Shimon's got to go up late. Everybody's got to move at the same time. That's this concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozer, how much each and every single Jew is dependent on another Jew's Hatzlacha. How much each and every single Jew is supposed to be happy when they see another Jew doing a mitzvah, knowing that mitzvah is not just credit to him, but if he's advancing, the whole Klal Yisrael is benefiting from it. Achar she'omar maimar hanal, after Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir in Likutei Moran, v'shom mechane v'koyre kol taivas ha'yitzahora b'shem koyach ha'medame, and in this chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal gave a nickname to the whole concept of evil desires and the Yetzirah's total package. Rabbeinu Zal called it Koyach HaMedame. Omaroz, Rabbeinu Zal spoke up and said, Tzrichin likroi loy ulechanois loy shem acher. We gotta give this guy a new name, the Yetzirah, the Satan. Hainu lahabaldovor v'hayetzirah, this one who is called in Sforim the Baldovor or the Yetzirah, Tzrichin likroi soy soy b'shem acher. We have to give him a new name from here on in. Dehainu sheloy lekroy soyoid b'shem yetzahara, not to refer to him anymore as yetzer hora, rak b'shem koyach hamedame, but rather to call him by this new title called koyach hamedame. V'omar zois b'derech schoik, and Rabbeinu Zal said this as a joke. Avol hevanti shehoyeloy boze kavono shleima, but Rabbeinu Zal says I was able to understand that Rabbeinu Zal wasn't just kidding around, that there was a tremendous significance to his saying this. And however, I wasn't zochet to fully understand what Rabbeinu Zal's intent was in this. Because by Jews, the whole concept of giving a name or giving a new name is a very major issue. Whenever a person, chas v'shalom, is in a major sakona and you want to change the whole life of that person, by changing the name, you affect the whole makeup of the person and the future of the person, etc. So therefore, there is a significance to this. Just as the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had seven names. Why seven names? One wasn't good enough? The answer is, according to how many missions a person has to accomplish in this world, and according to what the person's mission is, that's what determines the name of the person to a large degree. And so too, especially with angels. A malach, Gavriel, is the malach of Gevura, and so on and so forth, each one of the angels. Here, the Soton, there's a medrash that says that the Soton has seven names also. And it lists the seven names that are mentioned in different psukim in the Torah related to the Soton. Rabbeinu Zal here said that we have to give the Soton a new name to really describe what his main talent is. That his main talent is this koyach hamedame, this power to make things seem what they aren't really. To make what's really good and wonderful seem difficult and distasteful and unpleasant, and to make what's dirty and disgusting and ugly appear to be beautiful and enjoyable and pleasurable. That's the main task of the Satan. That's the best way to understand what he's all about. And that's this title, Koyach HaMedame. Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude this chapter on Likutei Moran. Any questions?
This idea of somebody is on the third floor, and if the other person is on the second floor, he can't get into the third floor until the person on the third floor moves. What if he wants, the one on the second floor wants to move faster, or then he's blocked?
On the contrary, the impression Rabbi Enizal gave is that whoever wants to move, everybody else is going to get pushed along, moved along. Excuse me?
Even the
Rishoyim? To a degree, yes. To a degree, yes. Although there are possibilities, there are certain extenuating circumstances where a person can jump off the ladder completely. Person can knock himself off to a much lower rung, in a sense. People commit certain sins which cause major setbacks in their avodas Hashem, whereby a person goes from the 20th floor to the 5th floor in one shot, chas v'shalom.
So our spiritual path is not we're not acting in a vacuum, but it's not an individual.
Chas v'shalom. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelo Zeh. Each person is a co-signer for the other. Each one is responsible for the other, and each one is affected by the a minion. Can you say Baruch Hu? Can you say Kaddish in the morning unless you have... Most definitely, you know, this is a major yesod in Yiddishkeit, that Judaism is not a religion to be practiced in an individual way, you know, where a person thinks they're operating in a vacuum, chas v'shalom. But on the contrary, each person has to feel tremendous concern for everybody else and a tremendous dependency to know that my success in religion depends on every single person in my shul, in my building, in my neighborhood, in my city, in my country, in my world, advancing. And their progress will affect my progress and vice versa. That's what's being stressed here in a very big way. Now, if we can go back and clarify some of the items that Rabbi Nizal mentioned earlier, Rabbi Nizal spoke about a concept of Koyach HaMedame, which we said represents the lowest level of Sechel, the lowest level of what the brain is used for, to make the simplest decisions in life, whether to eat or not to eat, you know, get most simple, basic physical decisions, versus Sechel, which represents something much, the term Sechel, which we're using in this case to represent something much higher. And Rabbi Nizal discussed the fact that when a person goes, just to use Rabbi Nosson Zal's exact words in Likutei Halachos, because it's such an accurate definition, Rabbi Nizal says that Sechel means where the person strips a physical item from its physicalness, from its gashmius, and uses that item to understand the greatness of Hashem through it, or to perform mitzvahs through that item, whether it be a glass of water, to make a bracha on it, to recognize Hashem and praise Hashem via this physical item, or a table, to learn on a table, or to sit on a chair, or to breathe air. In other words, whatever the person is doing, the connection with Hashem versus not. Rabbi Nizal mentioned the concept of three levels within Sechel. Sechel b'koyach, Sechel b'poyal, and Sechel ha'mikne. Sechel b'koyach, referring to the most, the earliest stage of the thinking process, when a person is first beginning to think about something, but before it they've translated into something tangible or something doable. Then there was Sechel B'Poyal, where a person used a number of concepts and put them together to be able to come up with certain concepts and ideas of things to be done, things that could be done. And then there was Sechel HaNikne, which meant where a person finally got it all together, got all the Sechel together in a form where it became usable. It's translated into Maisim already. This concept of these three levels, Rav Nosson Zal mentions a few examples of what this refers to in Torah. Number one, the terms that we use, Chochma, Bino, and Das. Chochma is called Koyach Mo. Is Chochma, the word Chochma can be split into two words, Koyach Mo. Mo means nothing. This is the power of nothingness, but the word nothing here is used to mean theory versus tangible. versus Maisa. This means the beginning of thought. Bina. Bina means Maven Dovor Mitoich Dovor, where a person's starting, where it's no longer nothing, but it's a matter of starting to think more in tangible terms and putting a few thoughts together to build an idea or to prepare a program for the person in a sense of a series of activities, that kind of thing. And then the final one, Sechel HaNikne, is what we call Das. Das is a product of Chochmah and Bina. Das is the power to actually create. Just as the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh says, B'chol derochecho do'ehu, that a person's supposed to get to know Hashem and see Hashem in everything that you're doing. The Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh says the word do'ehu is da hevov. Da means to unite, to make a yichud between the hey and vov of Hashem's name. Whenever the Torah talks about marriage, it says vayeda odom es chavo ishtoi. Odom knew his wife and she conceived and became pregnant. So the das means the concept of using sechel to be moiled, to actually create with the sechel already, meaning to produce meisen toivim. On another level, we have Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara, Rav Nosson Zal says. Chumash is called sechel bekoyach. It's sechel, but it's not yet really in a form where the true message of the actions that Hashem wants to see from us are expressed yet. You go to the Mishnah, it starts becoming already more tangible. It's more presented in the form of halachos. In other words, where the words of the Chumash are being brought closer to us in terms of action, but yet still not perfectly clear. You can't pasken halachos from the Mishnah, the Gemara says. Then a person comes to the limud of Gemara. Gemara is already the third stage, corresponding to this Sechel HaNikne, where Gemara is the place from which the rabbis were able to extract halachos, to actually define the derech of serving Hashem, all the actions and the whole lifestyle that's expected from a Jew, which is derived mostly from the Gemara. As far as this concept of koyach hamedame and how it plays on a person, there are so many different... The word medame means, again, where something looks like what it really isn't. Just to give a simple example, sometimes a person's walking outside when it's dark, and a person sees it's really dark, a person sees what's actually a tree, but because it's dark, it looks to them, the tree takes on the shape of a person standing over them with a stick, and the person suddenly gets scared. Or they hear a rustling sound in the leaves, and they're positive that it's an animal or a large person coming at them, and then they find later that it was something small that fell, but because of the darkness, the imagination plays tricks on the person in making the person be afraid of what they really aren't supposed to be afraid of. And this is one of the main missions of the Sotan, to get people to be afraid of, to be insecure and worried and petrified about baloney, about worries that aren't their worries, parnosa and other things which are Hashem's problems. The Torah is so full of saying that it's Hashem who provides, not I who provide. I have to provide, the responsibility is on me, and she's looking to me for all of that nonsense, all of those untruths. Versus a person not being afraid of what they really are supposed to be afraid of in terms of Hashem or the Kedusha Space Haknesses. A person walks into a shul to feel an awe and a fear and a respect for a Mokoim Kodosh or for an Odom Kodosh, all the different things where it's a misplaced fear. And so too with other emotions. People loving what they're not supposed to be in love with. Person falls in love with their car instead of being in love with a Torah, with a mitzvah, or with another Jew. That concept. That's the Koyach HaMedame in a negative way, the opposite of being a Jew's mission in this world, which is Medame, Lehizdamois. The Torah says, Tzadikim Mizdamnen Leyoitzron. How does a Jew know how to act properly? By copying Hashem, emulating, mimicking Hashem. That's the Madame Digdusha. Or emulating Tzadikim. A person watches how a Tzadik behaves and apes the Tzadik. They emulate the Tzadik. That's this concept of Madame in a form of Kedusha. So Rabbi Nazal spoke about a person dealing with this medame and trying to counter it with these three levels of sechel. And then he said that on each and every single level a person encounters this, no two people are on the same level. And then Rabbi Nazal went on to describe that the only way that a person could be machnia, the klipois, on each and every single level, is through the gedula of Hashem. The gedula of Hashem is what's machnia, the klipois. And we gave different examples of this earlier, that just as lahavdil in the physical world, when somebody threatens another person, and the person says, if you touch me, I'll call my big brother, or the person shows what big backing they have behind them, the one that's threatening them usually will move away, will become afraid if they see something major behind the other person. So too, lahavdil, when these forces of tumah come out against the Jew, and the Jew doesn't attempt to deal with them on his own, but rather he magnifies the greatness of Hashem, he either in speech, by speaking, discussing the greatness of Hashem, or through acts of chesed, which is a form of emulating Hashem. In other words, he's bringing Hashem into the picture by acting in the manner that we're told Hashem acts, mahu rachum, afato rachum, or by actually saying paragraphs of Tehillim, for example, in which the greatness of Hashem is discussed so elaborately. These are all items that scare away and defeat these klipos.
So that is attacks the Madaman, could that split away the things you just mentioned now? Is that a means of a person ridding himself of this Madaman?
Right. Through Gedula Sabere, which is either in speech or in action, the acts of Chasodim, and Rabbi Nazal said, because there are these beautiful colors that Kavyochol represent the greatness of Hashem, the main Gedula is his Galos HaGavnin. And Rabbi Nazal said that's found in gold and silver, in other words, in money. And when a person spends money in this manner, tzedakah and things like that, that brings Hashem into the picture. That activates the gedula of Hashem. Just as we see the pasuk says clearly in the Beis Hamikdash, Shalosh Pamim Bashono, Yeroe Es Pnei Hashem, three times a year, the face of Hashem should be made visible. Volo Yeroe Ponai Reikom. And Hashem's face will not be visible empty-handed. When tzedakah is given, that takes the mask off Hashem, and that's what gets Hashem to reveal His true strength, which is the thing that most easily scares away or destroys the klipos, the tumah, the koyach hamedameh. And we find many different examples of this. For example, the concept of golus is a concept of koyach hamedame, for a person falling into medame, because Eretz Yisrael represents the center of sechel. The Gemara says, Avira de Eretz Yisrael machkim, the air of Eretz Yisrael giz chochma. Eretz Yisrael represents sechel dikdusha. When the Yidden went into golus, they left Eretz Yisrael. It means that there was a drop in sechel. The pasuk says, Lochein golo ami mibli das. My nation went into golus as a result of lack of sechel. Golus is golo ami mibli das. That's one pasuk. And there's another pasuk that says nidmu ami mibli das. That it appears nidmu miloshim koyach hamedame, which is synonymous with golus. When a person's in golus, when they're outside their own place, they can't think straight. A person doesn't have a real yishuv hadas. This was the whole concept of golus Mitzrayim, where the Jews were slaves. Slave means lack of sechel. Slave means he has to listen to whatever the master says. In other words, where his own intellect is burned, is destroyed. What was the tikkun for it? Yosef HaTzadik is the one who was sent, supposedly. He told his brothers when they finally showed up, you think you did something terrible to me? On the contrary, I'm going to save the whole situation. How? How did he save the whole situation? Through tzedakah, vayechalkel Yosef es oviv es echov lefiataf. Yosef became the financial minister of Mitzrayim, and by his performing the most fantastic act of tzedakah, by his becoming the supporter of the world, literally, he became the foundation, the monetary foundation of the world. He controlled all the monies, and he distributed it in the most kosher way. That was the tikkun, that was this hisgalus of the Gedula Hashem that Yosef HaTzadik was doing in order to save the Jews. This is also the concept of where the Torah says that when are the Jews going to go out of Mitzrayim? Birchush Godol. They'll go out of Mitzrayim with tremendous wealth. Why? What kind of place does wealth have in Judaism? This wealth represents this hisgalus hagavnin, the colors that are the gedulas Hashem that's found in this kesev zohov, which when it's amassed in a kosher way by kosher Jews to be used properly, that's the greatest revelation of gedulas Hashem, and that annihilates the Rishoim. That destroys the klipos, whether it was Mitzrayim, whether it was at the Yamsuf, the Bizas Hayam, which was used to be machnia, all the klipos, all the Rishoim. And this is why Rav Nosson Zal points out also, when Yosef HaTzadik met up with his brothers, he gave each one of them a gift, and he gave Binyamin five times as much. He gave them all clothing. Binyamin, five sets of clothing. Why? Because Binyamin was the one who was going to have the Beis HaMikdash in his chelik. We learn in this chapter in the Kutimran that the Beis HaMikdash represents the center of this Klolius HaGavnin, the center of wealth, all the gold and silver and colors. The Toilas, Shoni, and the Argomon, and everything was in the Beis HaMikdash. He was the one who needed the greatest measure of Ashirus, Binyamin. Also, Yosef HaTzadik gave him Shloish Meos Kesef, it says. To all the brothers, he gave silver, and to Binyamin, he gave five sets of clothing. The Shloish Meos Kesef corresponded to these three Sichlias that we spoke about. Shloish Meos always represents Chochma Bino Das, which are called hundreds, compared to the seven lower spheroids, which are called tens. Rav Nosson Zal also points out that it's for this reason, based on what Rabbeinu Zal says here about Yisroel HaShebecho Espoir, that the true beauty of Hashem is found in Klal Yisroel, this Gedulas Hashem, this revelation of these Gavnin. It's for this reason that there's such an important mitzvah in the Torah of Loi Sechonim, that a Jew is not allowed to praise Goyim. A Jew is not allowed to talk about the good points in a sense of Goyim. The reason being, because by doing that, if he shows their good, he's going against the statement of Hashem. Hashem says that his beauty, his isparus, is to be found among Bnei Yisroel. Yisroel asher b'cho espoir. A Jew who flatters the goyim, who plays up to them, who talks about their good, is going against, he's undermining this isparus of Gedulas Hashem. And it's for this reason also that when a Jew lends, we spoke about tzedakah here, tzedakah being one of the main forms of Gedulas Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal says higher than tzedakah is a loan. When a Jew extends a loan to another Jew, the Hebrew term for a loan is called halvoas chein. That's the wording. Chein is another word for isparus, this beauty, this klolius hagavnin. Halvoa is miloshin hischabrus, a kesher, livui, hapam yilove ishi alai. It says by Levi, that when Levi was born, the kesher between Leah and Yaakov Avinu was made very solid, it was solidified. This concept of halvoas chein, where a Jew extends a loan to another Jew, this makes a kesher among, this leads to an achdus among Bnei Yisroel, and this brings out this chein, this beauty, this Yisroel asher b'cho espoir, in a tremendous way, to be machnia all of these klipois, all of these tumois. The opposite of this, of the tzedakah and the gold and silver, is avodah zarah, as the Torah says, atzabehem kesev v'zohov, that the depressions, the tumah of the goyim, is in this misuse of gold and silver. That's the other side of the picture. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem that why did the Jews make Avodah Zorah? V'di Zohov. They had too much gold, they didn't know what to do with. When there's too much, when the gold is not being placed in the right way, automatically it swings to the opposite extreme, opposite of Gedulas Hashem, is Avodah Zorah. And that's why the Kohanim, who were the main ones to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim was supposed to be the richest of the Jewish people. They represent this Hisparus Dikdusha. That's why the Kohanim were given the privilege of bringing the Ketores, because the Gemara says Ketores Ma'asheres. Ktoiris, each and every single time a different Kohen was given the privilege of doing the Ktoiris, so that each one would have this Ashirus. And the Kohen Godoil, the one to play the most important role in the Beis HaMikdosh, note he's called Kohen Godoil, Miloshen Gidula Hashem, and the Gemara says he had to be Godoil Me'echov, he had to be higher than his brothers in wealth. They had to make sure to make him richer, the richest of all the Kohanim. Why? Who needs money? Beis HaMikdash needs money. Beis HaMikdash is the center of Gedulas Hashem, and the Gedulas Hashem is revealed in this shine that's found in the money, the glow, this glow of Kedusha that's found in the money. This should serve as hagdomos, as introductions to start a person thinking. If a person will review this chapter on Likutei Moran and give it thought, and look in the Likutei Halachos and the Likutei Tefilos, you'll see that there are many, many messages and advice, a great deal of advice in Yiddishkeit that's to be found here.
If somebody asks for a loan, is it better then to give a loan than to give Meiser, if we're able to give Meiser?
The answer is, Meiser is a chiyuv. It's not a matter of choice. There's a law in Shulchan Aruch that says that when a Jew earns money or when a Jew receives any wealth, a gift or anything like that, they're obligated to set aside 10% of it as tzedakah. That's called tzedakah. There is another form of tzedakah that's called halvoas chen, which is considered in a higher level but not a replacement. In other words, if a Jew sees another Jew who's poor and they have a choice of either giving that person $100, in which case the person will use that $100 for a week or two, and when it's finished, the person simply lived another week, but he didn't put the person's financial picture, he didn't change the person's financial picture any. Versus lending that person $1,000 or something like that to put that person into a business or to give that person the opportunity to earn money on their own, to start that person off on a parnasa, in many ways that's considered to be a much greater accomplishment. But it's a delicate item too, because unfortunately today, most people are too quick to get into debt, are too quick to borrow when it's not necessary. And as much as we say that it's a tremendous privilege and mitzvah to be a lender, to be a borrower is not such a good idea, unless it's really necessary. And even then, it has to be done with a lot of seichel, to know exactly how the Torah says to go about it.
Is it possible to use Meiser for, say, setting up a gemach loan? Or
I'm not sure.
Should that be other money? Maybe?
I'm not sure. The impression that I have is that it should be other monies. Mm-hmm. I'm not positive. That's the way we were taught. In other words, that the Meiser is something that should be given as stock.